digital thoughts and everything.
But I don't have it for.
There we go, we are now recording.
Or to be covered in dust, somebody needs to.
Troll up.
Take out and clean it to the lines.
Well, sometimes they do.
You can take that out. You can just take, you know, the duster that you use for the computers, just blow it out. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's not the screen.
Oh, it's the screen.
I can see the screen.
Oh, okay.
It goes all the way across the screen.
Sure, that were early.
And it's chilly in here.
So I don't need to
jump. She's screaming at me. Oh, I've got 2 minutes, I've got 3 minutes.
Jumping jacks.
I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go to these meetings to get away from being at home. Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing?
Good. No, I don't think they made the transfer. Do you have an extra one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna take notes.
But you do notice that they're over the bottom.
I know they are. That's why I don't use this basket very much, because it seems like everything sinks to the bottom.
At least the stuff you're looking for.
One I stole from.
Aegeus?
Yeah, they were one of the
presenters?
Up at Wisconsin.
Oh, at the County Association?
Yeah, they were. Well, sure, I like it.
Kim said she was going to be a little late because she's actually at a planning and zoning meeting in Salem, so that should.
Yeah.
That was scheduled at 6, so.
So unless they're really like right on schedule.
Well, considering it takes like 10 minutes to drive here and the meeting started at 6.
Oh, yeah, there's just that little detail.
Yeah, well, it's because we're a week off. Normally we would have had it last
David
week.
With
that's.
Her?
Huh?
No.
What
David
was
won't be here.
Oh, thought he was with her.
That was last night.
Oh.
So, you don't even really have a forum, do you?
Not yet.
Well, with Kimmy, or we do, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Kimmy. I was just thinking you could start the meeting with somebody
yeah.
else.
But we don't need a quorum to just to have a presentation, do we? It's just to vote on things.
Officially.
Oh, yeah.
We can have a presentation, but...
I think we should wait.
We can wait.
Gobble? I don't know.
I don't see his name.
It is.
I'm guessing they... I'm just reading your name tags, because she, how she has it set up. It looks like Mike isn't going to be here.
Gable's not here.
Yeah. Aaron isn't going to Aaron.
Where's April?
She comes in later when
yeah, she comes at 7.
The hearing.
Yeah, sure, I'm glad I rushed from work.
Hi, yeah. I'm glad I, you know, rushed really, from where I was.
I could have had real food.
I could have ate something for lunch.
Instead of Subway.
Where's Steve?
He's gone.
Steve's with Kim.
Any takers on people to move out to your neighborhood, Aaron?
No, I didn't say my neighborhood. I said west of the eye.
Whatever, Aaron, everything, whatever went down with all those people by Pirelli's, what's nothing more became of that? Or?
Where's the rest of our committee?
You're here. You? That, who else cares? You're here. That's all.
That's it. That's what I said.
David said there's nothing on the agenda that I got to worry about.
Are we starting right? Teddy's not here. I'm going to run and get a soda.
Okay.
Teddy's here, but she left the room.
I know. I just saw her.
So, how much is soda?
60.
60?
Yep.
Tucker.
Oh,
Holly Pirelli? Yeah.
What about her?
We're taking care of her.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we're taking care of the residents, and Aaron has contacted the DNR. They're actually going to walk in.
Yay. Please
snap some pictures.
You did good, because we were just guessing how long
we were doing.
And because I sent that email out to them, asking them to please cut it short, they kept asking, now when's our next meeting? What day is that?
Hey.
Are you going to send us an email? I'm like, really, people? Let's wrap it up. Gotta go.
Gotta go.
So, when I went to the Common Council last night,
yes,
I heard a lot of bad, nasty swear words come out of those people's mouths.
I heard.
Good Lord.
Someone said the F-bomb.
Yes, he did.
Did you hear why?
Yeah, she said it here.
Something about cigars.
Cigars?
You heard
that,
didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Is that the one who said it?
Unbelievable. Is that unbelievable or not?
What?
That Alderman Green.
You know, with Alderman, nothing's on the
council. Really? Can I go ahead and call the meeting to order? Everyone's got their sodas?
Yeah, we got our
sodas. We're all okay?
We're all good.
Okay. We have four supervisors present and some staff from Extension Education. And Teddy, I understand that you are the one giving us the presentation.
Madam Chairman, could I request that the items for the teacher program be moved to the end after the extension portion of the meeting so I can do the governance and members report first, if that's okay?
Any problems with the question?
No objection.
No.
I'm sorry, Supervisor. That's the wrong meeting already.
I also need to state for the record that the meeting was published November 3rd and November 8th. For the record. Okay, youth and governance update. I put before you this evening the attendance records of youth and governance members. The current policy states that any youth and governance member not attending at least 50% of their committee meetings by November will be asked to step down and an alternate to take their place on the committee. So we have done the double checking with all of the oversight committees to determine determine what that attendance is as of November 14th, and I have that before you. As you can see, we do have one individual with less than 50% attendance record, and that would be Christopher Che. He has been communicated with him, let him know that it was a concern some months ago, so he's been well aware that that was an issue and that the option to continue would be limited after November. So I think as the committee who provides oversight for youth and governance, I recommend that you recommend to the county board chairman to replace Christopher with the next highest alternate. We have rankings of how they were interview.
And I spoke with Chairman Molinaro last night and gave him a briefing on what was going on and presented to him the application for, who was the next one on the list?
Robert.
And I spoke with the chairman and he did not have any issues with this and said that he looks forward to bringing him forward to the board. So. With that, I guess, do we have a recommendation to...
I had a question.
Okay.
Were there any reasons why this person missed?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've been just a very busy individual. Many of the meetings weren't even called in to say, I'm not going to be able to make it.
Okay, thank you.
And I apologize because you guys have not been on the committee to understand how the whole process with the youth works, and you will get your opportunity real soon.
And I need to stand corrected. It's Richard Karabek.
Okay.
Got my R's.
Well,
questions?
This youth and governance member that we're discussing is actually on the Human Services Committee, which I serve on. And I did notice his attendance, and I had contacted Teddy. And I had noticed it 1 month that he wasn't there. And thought, okay, you know, they don't always make them all because they're busy people. Then the next month I was unable to attend the meeting, mm-hmm. and he wasn't there. And apparently the email we had for him was not working. That's what I believe Sharon Davis told us, that she tried to contact him. And so then I didn't know that he had missed that one meeting because I wasn't there. The next month, he missed another meeting, and that's when I contacted Teddy about it. So it was three meetings in a row that he missed, just so you're aware.
Okay.
I got a question. And he knew going into this, Teddy?
Absolutely.
Okay. I would assume so. But
whether that message was internalized.
Remember, these are teenagers. And
does he know that this is going to come down this way? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
John spoke to him about, well, right after you called us, Supervisor Decker, and explained the situation and said, even if you make every meeting now, it's still, you've missed so many meetings. You're maybe 50% is going to be a challenge. And see that.
Make a motion to terminate him.
I have a first to terminate.
Second.
I have a first and a second to terminate. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Great. Thanks. And I'll then pass your recommendation on to the chairman of the board, and he then will appoint the new person.
When do we want to do that?
We'll do it. I can do it tomorrow.
Okay. So, yeah.
So this person can come to the next human
the next.
Which is?
I'm guessing it will be Tuesday at 6:30. That's normally when they are, but I haven't heard for sure.
Fourth Tuesday
at 6:30 are the at downtown at the administration building, second floor. So
we'll get the ball rolling tomorrow.
Yeah, he can still attend the meeting next week, and
that's great.
The chairman won't have any problem.
Oh, Human Services. What's the next thing?
Excellent. Good. Thank you all very much. So I'll communicate with Chairman Molinaro, and John will communicate with Christopher.
Yeah. Okay, good.
The second piece regarding youth and governance is the proposed schedule. Just more as an FYI, as we start looking out over the next next about two quarters of the program, we start soliciting nominations right after the first of the year. And that's done by contacting all the principals and school guidance counselors at all of the high schools, public and private, throughout the county. And we do the open nominations by putting it on our website, through the Kenosha News, just, you know, anybody and everybody. Because a nomination could come from a church pastor or a Boy Scout leader or a county board supervisor. Right? You know, anyone can nominate. So that process begins right after the first of the year. We collect the applications. The two dates that probably you want to sort of have on your radar are those face-to-face interviews at the end of March. And it might be a good idea to think about how to have a subcommittee of this committee. It'd be very incredibly intimidating to you to have all seven of you in the interview room.
We like to be intimidating.
Very challenging. So we may just, and we have time to think about that, but to think about how to bring that down to a smaller subgroup to do the interviews. And in the past, we've typically always included the group of governance members as part of that process. Mm-hmm. So maybe three supervisors and the two group of governance or something. And those interviews are held downtown at the county admin building on the second floor.
On the
29th? Uh-huh. Yeah, two nights. Yeah, we do them two nights because mm-hmm. you interview probably about 20 to 22 youth.
Okay.
Each
night, yeah. It's the 28th and 29th
of
March.
I just give that to you as a...
What days are
those?
Those are a Wednesday-Thursday. Wednesday-Thursday.
Yeah, and we can split the youth up and have one night and the other night. That would work
well,
better.
Yes, actually we did do that. Yeah. We did split them up and give them each a night. Yes, good point. I forgot we did that last year.
I wasn't there last year.
But we did do that, yeah.
We will get them back on track. We'll get
so
you guys back
on track. So what do we normally do?
Well, actually what happens is, so we will divide up our committee, and then we will sit around the big conference room table on the second floor, and the youth will come in one by one after they are, first they're greeted by John in the lobby area, DeMont Mullen. He explains to them what's going to happen in the interview process, reaffirms to them that this is a huge commitment. And this is really stressed throughout the entire process of when they get the nomination papers, when they fill out the application, when they come for the interview. We are constantly stressing to them that this is a huge commitment that they have to be ready to do. And even in the interview process, Teddy stresses that 3, 4, 5 times. And, you know, even when they're nominated and when they are appointed to these committees, it is stressed that it's a huge commitment. So,
so the interviews are pretty scripted. You have a set of questions that you ask every youth. You have a score sheet that you rank them, fill out with a very objective numbering system for each answer to the questions. And that's all been compiled by the chair of the committee to take all that input and then spreadsheet. Spits the number out, and you see the rankings.
Well, if you say it's a huge commitment, which it is, but it's not like we're, you know, it's very competitive. There's a lot of people mm-hmm. that apply for it. So if, like in this instance where someone was below a 50% threshold, there's people waiting to take the place. It's not like we're hoping to get enough people to fill the spots. They're fighting for it.
Right. And, you know, it was the youth themselves who came up with that policy.
Right.
That Good. Was their decision to hold their peers accountable Good. To say exactly what you did, Supervisor Decker. If you are not here, you're taking the seat of someone who could. And they didn't feel that that was fair. And so they're the ones who recommended the change in the policy.
Well, I applaud them for that.
And some of them get beat out by a quarter of a point. So it is extremely competitive. Yes.
We're not going to do any more with this part here. We're done with that.
Okay, I can collect those so that information doesn't start flowing around. I mean, it's not public because it's all public record. But yeah.
Okay.
Well, what are they? Is it 11th and 12th graders?
Yes. Okay. Well, they apply when they're sophomores and juniors mm-hmm. because it's the following school year that they would really be serving the bulk of their committee assignment. And so we nominate sophomores and juniors.
I know that Salem was looking into doing the same thing, am I correct?
Yes.
How is their process going?
Slow.
Slow. Is there anything with the interview process that we're doing here that could assist them?
Well, actually, John and I had discussed this the other day, and what we had thought of is once we pick our committee members, because if the county is going to administer the program, we want to make sure that we get the best ones. And then we separate out the ones for just the town of Salem, and then we can send those names over to the town of Salem.
Okay, good.
That's brutally fair.
Absolutely.
Give our sloppy best, seconds, right? I mean, is that what you're saying?
Well, absolutely. And then we can send them over to Paddock Lake and to, you know.
The ones that lost by a quarter of a point, those good.
That was, that's right. Any other questions?
No.
The interview process is very interesting.
So we're all going to be involved in that?
If you would like to be. Oh. We will need, four supervisors each night, and then one you.
Three or four. There's seven of you. So
could
you
divide
yourself.
One supervisor one night and another different one? They don't have to be the same ones.
Exactly.
I will be the only constant.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would be the only constant.
I was going to say, is that something that we want the same people interviewing both nights?
No.
Only because the way some people judge might be different than the way the other people, and it might skew the results.
Right.
Just a thought.
And the only reason why I attend both nights is because then I can see all of the interviews, so that when I'm going through the scoring process, if there are two that are really close, you know, which one is weighted a little bit heavier after I look through all of the... I go back and I look through every one of the interview score sheets, and I look through their applications, and I read everything just to...
Well, that's amazing, because not all of them have the neatest handwriting.
No, they don't. Sometimes it needs to be deciphered. And then once I get the compilation together, I bring the recommendations back to the committee, and you guys get to review them and decide if that's the order that you want them in.
Okay.
So
we'll spend a lot more time on this in January.
Yeah,
right.
One more question. Now, if there's a youth in governance that is a junior, they automatically get to reapply for a senior?
They do.
Okay.
You have to reapply. They go through the process all over again.
Okay.
And that happens this year. Some of them made it and some of them didn't.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Any other questions?
I want just one more. Are there any other municipalities that were interested in starting this?
Paddock Lake was.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Silver Lake?
You probably wouldn't want them.
No. Okay. So maybe Silver Lake too, or Paddock Lake.
Oh.
There you go.
Silver Lake?
Pick second and Paddock Lake is third?
No, because they're different municipalities. The youth actually have to live in those municipalities.
Oh, okay.
Do they, or can they?
No,
is that a requirement?
They would have to live in that municipality to
good.
Sit on that board.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
And they don't have to travel either.
Right. Okay. Moving on.
Move on.
Thank you.
We do director's report so we can get Rose.
Okay.
I'm going to introduce Steve Branda. Steve is our interim, long time, and also stay with me, community, natural resources, and economic development. Started on October 24th, so I'm going to just give Steve an opportunity to share a bit of his background.
Madam Chair, supervisors, my name is Steve Branca. I don't know my title yet, so I'm glad that she told you what that
gave
is.
You
still in the orientation phase. Just give you a little bit of background on my professional background. I received my master's degree in urban planning from UWM a few years ago. And have since sort of had a peripatetic career, but I've spent three shifts in Wisconsin, if you will. My first job was at the Milwaukee County Parks Department, which was a great deal of fun. Later, I came back to Wisconsin to work at the Johnson Foundation Police Grant, and I was there for roughly 6 years, working as their sustainable development and environmental program officer. And now I'm back after several years overseas and having to be with Kenosha Extension Office. In between some of that, I worked in economic development in Pittsburgh and in Phoenix. And then most recently, I worked at the Ministry for the Environment in New Zealand. So I have a bit of a geographic background as well as a functional background. Right now, I'm also teaching at UWM the graduate planning program that I graduated from, which is a lot of fun. So I'm kind of an educator in a couple of different ways now. I'm certified as a planner, and the American Institute of Planners. I have Congress for Urbanism accreditation in urbanism. I've done a lot of international work, a lot of travel, and a little bit right now. But in the interest of time, I will just offer to send you a copy of the resume if you're interested in seeing it, and appreciate the opportunity to work with you. And I'm always available to answer questions or anything else.
I would love to see your resume. It sounds very fascinating.
I'm happy for you to see it.
Thank you. Well, we're delighted.
And Supervisor Underhill and I had a chance to meet Steve at the Council of Governments. Yeah. We were eating Danish as they were giving us the Healthy Kenosha presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Genius.
Yeah.
I also want to quickly just remind all of you to not forget to complete your survey.
I did it today.
Excellent, excellent. Good. So either the link or the hard copy, and just be sure that you do that by December 2nd. That would be terrific. I also just want to let you all know that we were selected, Kenosha County was selected as the only county extension office to be part of a federal grant proposal going in for the Children, Youth, and Families at Risk grant. We were up for it a year ago with one other county, Sheboygan. We weren't funded. It was very highly ranked, so with this next opportunity, we're feeling very confident. Sheboygan decided not to be a part of it, so they asked us if we wanted Sheboygan's money too, and of course John and I said, absolutely, we'd love to. So it means we can expand from one school to two, so we'll go from Brass Community School to Jefferson Elementary, two schools. So we're excited, we're busy writing all that down to get that submitted. So. And turn over to Rose.
This is called speed farming. And I'm going to speed right through. A lot of this stuff is going to skip.
Yes, for
you should have been at the Gulch's presentation last night.
I'm sorry. So what I'd like to talk 5 minutes about is agriculture in Wisconsin. And what I would like to focus on is just what's happening as far as agriculture in general. And what I'd like to talk about is, to start off, the part on the left is just farm size, and had just seen my really exciting slides that I skipped through, we would have had more context, but what I want to point out is that farm size in Wisconsin, the majority of the farms in Wisconsin are between 1,579 acres, with things happening on both sides. We have 78,000 farms right now, which is actually up from the 2002 census. And we're actually finding that's not only a trend in Wisconsin, but nationwide, that we're seeing farm numbers go up. But interestingly enough, we're seeing that land in farms is going down. So what we're seeing is an increase in small farms, but we're still losing land. Now the question mark here, when you look at the loss of farm land, is what's happening to that land. Some of it, of course, is probably being developed, because between these years, that was when the big economic boom was happening, a lot of development was taking place. So some of that land may have been lost to development, but some of that land also might have just been taken out of farming. So that's the question mark that we don't really have a good, complete answer for. But between those 5 years, we lost in Wisconsin about 3% of the farmland. And I also included the amount of farms with less than $5,000 worth of sales, because I think it's really important to kind of get a feel for how many small farms we have out there. And it's less than half, but 36,000 farms had sales of less than $5,000 a year, and government payments will skip. Wisconsin agriculture, we lead the nation in cheese, cranberries, mink pelts, and milk goats. A lot of people don't know about the milk goats. Walworth County actually has a very significant milk goat population. I'm talking really fast. Can you see that? and I think we would actually see an even bigger increase in milk goats if there was an infrastructure in place for those folks. Right now, there's a creamery out in the western part of the state that people ship milk to. Our folks is too far away, so a lot of the folks that have milk goats in our area are making soaps out of them or selling the milk illegally because there's not a way for them to have them all processed here. We're close to the top, but not in the top ranking for milk production. We won't talk about that today, but claims they have happier cows, but I would disagree with that. Oats, potatoes, maple syrup, mint production, and certified organic production. We're actually second in the nation for certified organic production. Again, only behind that state that claims they have happier cows. And one of the reasons why we have such a high percentage of certified organic farms is because Organic Valley was formed out in the western part of the state in the 80s, and I think that's helped provide a market for folks who want to get certified. Looking at Kenosha County, the trend I want you to look at as far as farm size is most of our farms are in the 10 to 49 acre range. We lost only six farms in that five-year period. And what we're seeing is, again, the trend is farm size is going down. We lost about 5% of our land that is in agriculture in that time, and almost half of those farms sold $5,000 worth of products or less. Okay, Racine County looks incredibly similar to Kenosha County. The big difference is that Racine County has more area in farms than Kenosha County does. So as you can see, they have almost 200 more farms than Kenosha County. But the same trends following all the way down as far as farm size, land and farms, and then again, about half of those farms have sales that are around $5,000 or less. Okay, quickly, as far as corn and soybean production, that ranks the top as far as land base and also from an economic perspective. Then we go down from there to forages, which is hay land, winter wheat, and then I put up the dairy farms. A lot of our other animal species, most of those are not the primary breadwinner, if I may say. But dairy farms, we have 30 in Kenosha today, 34 in Racine. When I started in 1998, there were 52 dairy farms in Kenosha and 60 in Racine. So in the 13 years I've been in this position, we've seen an increase, an enormous decrease in the number of dairy farms, which if I had more time, I'd tell you how concerned I was about that, but I'm not going to today. less than 1 minute. All right, so we have lots of horses. Again, if I had more time, I'd tell you more about that. But the one thing that I wish was just easier to see, that I'd like to talk about very quickly is just the market for land in Kenosha County and Racine County. I compared 2008 to 2010, and I wish you could see this better, but in 2008, land stayed in agricultural production, but was sold for over $12,000 an acre. When it was sold in 2010, it was sold for almost $7,000 an acre. So just in those 2 years, we've seen land prices for agricultural land increase incredibly. In that, Racine County, we were over. The rest of the state in 2008, average farmland prices were $3,500. Interestingly, that number has actually increased at the state level. It's almost $3,800. But actually, we're seeing that happen throughout the U.S., where farmland prices are actually increasing, and that seems to be because the price for crops lately has been good, so there seems to be more of a demand for agriculture. And that was the fastest presentation I've ever made.
That was awesome.
Yeah, wasn't it? So I don't know if I have time for questions, but I'd be happy to try to answer any if you do have some, or if you'd like more information at a later date. I could always send you my PowerPoints, and if you have questions.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send it to the committee.
Okay. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. We're sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't stand up. I know.
Squish your time. You
can give it to me, Rose. I've got their email.
Oh, perfect. I'll give it to them.
You guys can look at it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was...
Thank you.
Have a good
we may have to expand
yeah,
our team training time next year.
Just do you have an evaluation where you can provide that in? That would be something to consider.
Too late. Yeah. I already submitted mine.
To put that
I know. I already submitted mine, too.
Evaluation.
But when we start looking at those evaluations, we'll have to think about that.
I want to go back to the cooking.
The cooking? Yeah, when we did the cooking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I stuck a note. Just
I saw that.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Steve.
Nice to meet you.
Move over.
Yeah, because are we missing two supervisors?
Yeah.
So the
Three.
I figured David would be here, but...
David said he's not coming.
Oh, he's not coming.
Said there's nothing that important.
He did not. What? Are you serious?
It's just a letter.
Thank you.
Was Heather here earlier?
No.
Oh, good. Thank you. Go ahead and call the planning and development meeting to order. Esposito, who is the vice chairman, Supervisor Underhill, Supervisor Decker, myself, I am Chairwoman Furtick, excused is Supervisor Kohlmeier, Supervisor Gable, and Supervisor Hellman. We do not have our youth and governance present tonight, and we have on our staff Annie Bueller and April. Our first one.
For tonight on the Planning and Development Extension Education Committee, we're on to item number 4, the public hearing. And for these items, they were published in the Kenosha News as a Class 2 notice on October 27th, 2011 and November 1st, 2011. Item number 4 is Paul Alexiak, 2057 West Chicago Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60622 owner. Joseph and Selma, 1122 Lucille Avenue, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, 53181. Agent requests a rezoning from the A2 General Agricultural District to R2 Suburban Single Family Residential District on part of tax parcel number 604-119-163-0800, located in the southwest quarter of Section 16, Township 1 North, Range 19 East, Town of Randall. For information on the map, you can see the property is located in purple. Outlined in purple, the area to be rezoned is shaded in purple. This is on the north side of County Trunk Highway Z, approximately 0.1 miles west of County Trunk Highway O.
Please come forward to the table.
While they're coming forward, the board will recognize this item. It'll be familiar. A couple months ago, Mr. Alexiak had come before the board for a comprehensive plan amendment.
Good evening. Could you state your name and address for the record, please, and tell us why you're here?
Joseph Anselmo.
You have to pull the microphone real close to your face. I apologize.
My name is Joseph Anselmo. I'm an architect and planner for Mr. Alexia and our property. And as you stated, a series of things that we're trying to improve. Purpose of the project is to put a residential unit in the north wing of the barn and make sure there's
Yes.
So if there's any questions, that's basically solving the problem in every requirement zone changes, split up the land, separate the units that are going to be residents at the time.
Do you have any questions in the committee? Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone against the petition? Anyone against? Anyone else?
At the town of Randall, they approved the request for the rezoning at their town board meeting October 27, 2011, on a Gehring, Hellison motion. Motion carried.
You've read the conditions?
Yes.
One point I just wanted to make was that 1C and 1D, 1C is to be put on the CSM, which will be coming up later in tonight's meeting, and 1D, just in the fact of trying to cover the point that right now there exists a barn on the property and your desire is to convert it to a residence, although the committee and the county board will be taking action to rezone it, of which time the barn will become not in compliance until the barn is converted. And so that language is there to just ensure that the barn does get converted to a residence. If you were to fail to do that, then action would be taken to rectify that. And so that was just added in there.
Okay, committee.
I move to approve the zoning with the conditions.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Esposito. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It's approved.
Thank you. And just to clarify, the conditions are going to be on the certified survey map coming up later.
Okay.
And no conditions in regards to the rezoning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Item number two is Gerald W. and Muriel L. Greel, 33807 Geneva Road, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105. Owner, U.S. Cellular, 3545 North 124th Street, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. Agent, request a conditional use permit to allow for the co-location of an antenna on the existing antenna tower site in the C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District on tax parcel number 954-119-022-0230, located in northwest one quarter of section 2, township 1 north, range 19 east, town of Wheatland. On the map again, you can see the property shaded in purple. It's on the south side of Geneva Road, approximately 500 feet east of 301st Avenue.
Run on the Ron Zeckel, that's an agent for U.S. Cellular, 3545. This petition is just the updated condition. It's basically covered in the condition of some antennas, antenna arrays, some issues. U.S. Cellular added throughout the years. I think this tower can go quite some time ago. The original U.S. Cellular is on the head array at 180 feet. They went back and added the latest 100 to 146 feet, 180 in we also had some backhaul issues. We went one backhaul this season, 135, 128, 72. Those all passed structurally. So this application is basically correct the file that was actually on it. So we just couldn't put it up to date. Should be a note of record that Verizon is also on this telephone approving them. They're at the 157-foot level. So it still has quite a bit more capacity to help, apparently, for additional attempts. So that's going to be very common coming up in the news. A lot of towers are going up. The next 5 years, we'll be able to do the fourth generation. So we can see how we rely. We have to correct some of these other things. There's no change in the knowledge from the original plan. It's just actually showing this petition is an update to show what the condition is, which actually is done.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the committee? Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone against this petition? Anyone against? From the town?
The town of Wheatland, after town board meeting on October 10, 2011, approved the request of the conditional use for Gerald and Muriel Grill per the letter submitted to town clerk Sheila Siegler dated October 12, 2011. And have you seen the conditions then?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have a motion from Supervisor Esposito.
With the conditions.
With the conditions. And a second from Supervisor Underhill. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Thank you. He needs to sign those correctly.
If you could just step up down to April on the end, she has the original, which you can sign for us, please.
Review and possible approval of a resolution appointing William Martin as county representative to the Bolts Lake Management District Board. I know that this has come before us already. Apparently there was a little problem with this. It was supposed to go from the Land and Water Conservation back down to the county executive, who would then pass it on to Chairman Molinaro to be referred to a committee, which would be our committee, and then we could approve it, and then we could take it back to the board. So we skipped a couple steps in there, so that's why it's back before us. Does anyone have any questions about Mr. Martin? Do I have a recommendation?
I make a recommendation we approve the
appointment. I have a first by Supervisor Underhill.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Decker. All in favor to approve Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Mr. Martin is approved. Certified surveys, we have one.
Correct. We have the one for Mr. Alexiak that we had discussed a little earlier in regards to his certified survey map, and we would recommend approval subject to the conditions.
Any questions? I have a first by Supervisor Esposito to approve the certified survey map.
Second.
I have a second by Supervisor Underhill.
With the conditions.
That's what Andy said, with the conditions.
Subject to conditions.
Hearing down here isn't the best.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. And the survey map is approved. I don't need to ask if there was any. All right, approval of the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes from Tuesday, October 25th. And October 12th.
Second.
Wednesday, October 12th.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are approved for two dates. Citizen comments.
Other business.
Okay. Are there any citizen comments? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Any other business allowed by law?
Yes, I would like to just update the committee in regards to an item that was before you back this summer, The property is of ownership Meg Hassigar LLC. Mr. Iabatut is here tonight from Bravo Realty in regards to this. Basically, at that time, we had presented to the committee an update of where things were back in June in regards to the property on Sheridan Road, 1150 Sheridan Road, in regards to the service station of which Mr. Atuta had come before this committee back in 2008 to receive a conditional use permit for that. And some construction has taken place on the property, and it's been halted for some time, and we were looking to try to get an update to find out where things were going. And we had sent a couple letters to Mr. Atuta to try to get a response back, and then we did get a phone call, and then he came to the committee at the June meeting, June 8, 2011, and gave his viewpoint and his point of view in regards to where things are at. Now, since then, from our office, nothing has taken place. I know Mr. Tu had come in July to talk over some changes to the canopy, and we were looking to try to renew the zoning permit, which had expired back on June of 2010. At this last summer, we had also let the committee know that the building permit was still active. It was open till October 19th, 2011, and we were looking at just renewing the zoning permit. That did not happen, and now the building permit has expired as well. And so we were in contact with Mr. Atuta to try to find out exactly, again, where things are at. Since June to November, 5 months has passed, and nothing more has transpired on our end with the permits, and now everything has expired, and we still have the conditional use permit out there that was approved back in 08. And so we're just looking for some direction from the committee, and again, Mr. Atuta's here. If you have any questions, I would like for him to be able to explain maybe where things have been going the last 5 months since you last saw him.
Mr. Atuta, can you come forward, please? Committee members, do you have any questions? I know that there was some concern about financing at the last one. Have you found any financing for it?
Still the same kitchen financing. We're working. My name is Yamatal, 4630 15th Street in Summers, Wisconsin. We have several projects going on. We have been in business since 1993. I can tell you one thing, this is one of the most hardest time we've ever been. And I'm sure everybody wakes up every morning, they don't know if they're going to have a job that day. All of us sitting in this room, we know tomorrow we're going to have a job or not. So, saying that, we're still going through tough times. We have several projects in Gold Creek, some commercial. Banks are doing these type of loans because there's some money coming in. Anything has development, not a franchise or a national tenant can take over, it's very tough. There's no doubt. We have a loan against this property. We spend $2,000 a month, you know, for paying our taxes. We'd like to have it built as soon as possible. Just the banks are stopped. That's it. I mean, we worked with three different banks this summer. Everybody asked us for certain things. We came met with the county. We appreciate your help. I think they're a little more possible to work with them, but nobody wanted to check yet. We looked at the extending the application for 12 months to the state, and that's what we're going to try to circle back to extend this agreement for an extra 12 months. We're just thinking that there's an issue with the state, we can extend the building permit in the state for 12 months, and that's what we're going to try to ask for you guys at the same time. We have a project that's going to be done on March 1st, and then in the hospital in Gold Creek, Wisconsin, we're building. To get that project is done, hopefully we'll use some of the funds. our position to start this project, to spend on this project. The building is, most of it is done. Just a matter of, I guess, things, and we need some certain things. The site is clean. You know, we keep up with the leaf, we keep up with the cleaning around the parcel. It's not like we like to just. It doesn't look like there is a need of cleaning around it. Is it tough? Absolutely. I'm sure all of us know that. Members don't buy it. The local banks are weak. This gas station was financed by the local bank.
The two projects that you're working on currently, you said that there was one in Kenosha and one in Oak Creek. The financing that you got for those, they're not willing to extend financing for this other project?
See, there was each bank in the financial. There is something has to it works this way. If you, each bank has a certain percentage what they can get for loans, let's say 20% for extension, they cannot go to over 22%. It really means 20% of their assets goes to extension.
Right.
These projects, the one we had in the Oak Creek, it was a hospital. You know, they have funding from another bank. We just signed, you know, to front it. But we have a national tenant in the shopping center.
Okay.
That makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. The one in Kenosha, we have Gene Morgan, our tenant in downtown Kenosha. So that what that money available, it's a little bit different. This project is a local franchise, you know, local person going to own it, it makes it tough. There's no use in that. It makes it tough. Talk about 208, that's, you talk about the wrong time, that's exactly the wrong time. It's starting the project, it was 208,
So what I'm understanding is right now you have an expired zoning permit and an expired building permit. Where are you in the process of re-upping those, of renewing them? Where are you in that process specifically?
They're expired October 19th.
Right. But it is expired.
Correct.
Where are you in the process of...
Oh, no, that's nice.
Where are you in the process of getting a new zoning permit?
I'm going to apply for the state normally, but the first thing goes to the state.
Okay. And how about the building permit?
That's the building permit. That is the building permit from the state. There's, you know, when you get the state permit, you sort of have that. There's an application for 12 months.
They have to renew that so that the town can renew theirs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I just have a couple questions. One just is when you talked about with the property, there is a semi-trailer sitting on that. Is that gone now? Okay, last time I was by it was there. Okay, that is good.
We moved that, yeah. We moved that semi.
The second thing is that the walls are, the four walls are there. And is there any concerns that you have with the walls being there and going through the weather without a roof or anything? It's been several years now that that's happened.
When we built buildings, we see that those are block, you know, full prep block building. It's not like a you know, wood structure with the brick on it. It's a full brick block. So there's no dangers at all for those buildings. That underground wall is done. The building was built to have the bank complete the financing. The bank was financing this project, but the labor is shutting down here. You know, there's no shutting down for business owners. We have several millions of dollars with them. They kept in other ones with us, but for construction, they just don't. We're willing, like I said, we are circling that.
Okay, well, thanks.
The hardest thing is for this project is not because of us, it's because the available money from the banking percentage or the regulators. And I'm sure that the new, you know, it's nothing to do with the aspiration of this. Just something to do with the banks for this kind of construction. That won't go with just a regular, you know, a business. It's nothing to do with the person. It's nothing to do with just the players. It's just too much restricted with these constructions. These constructions, you know, some may be used to take 30 days, I think it was.
Andy, what are our options?
I was kind of just going to ask that same thing because it's without having a building permit or a zoning permit, it's kind of hard to get a loan, isn't it?
I'm not sure if you're looking for options. I think there are several. This may not be a complete list, but one would be to just direct us that if Mr. Attell wanted to renew his permit, that we would renew his permit. He would pay his fees for that, and it would be then valid. The zoning permit would be valid for 18 months. The town permit would, if renewed, would be renewed for 2 years. That would be one option. A second option would be that the committee could state that, well, we would kind of like to put the owner on notice that you have so much time to come back to the committee showing that you can secure a loan, and maybe in that time period, if it happens, then we would renew the permits, and if it doesn't happen, then the committee could look to revoke the conditional use permit until such time that things come back together again. The other would be that the committee could direct us to put it on the agenda for next month and just revoke the conditional use permit at this time just because there's been any inactivity with this. And that doesn't stop Mr. Attute from, in any of those, from doing anything, because he can always come back when something were to be formalized. I think right now it's been sitting for a while, and it's been sitting 5 more months since we last talked about this, and so we're just looking to get some direction with this. And there could be some other options. If you have any, we can certainly look at those too.
Does he need the CUP to go to the state and get the building permit?
I don't think so. The question was just as, do you need the conditional use permit to be able to get your state permit? And I don't believe that that would be the case.
Yeah. We need all of you to cooperate.
You would need them all together.
There's no sense that anybody, let's put it this way. I don't see any sense that we're trying to build something in the commercial economy. We'd like to build it yesterday or today. We have the money, tell me what to sign.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, so to take a it's got to be all parties cooperate. Our intention, our hearts in it to build here. So we have to work with each other to move forward. We're all struggling. I'm sure you guys are going in the budget the same as I am, and struggling to find money for building a gas station. It is what it is. We'd like to work with each other and move forward. I think I expect everybody to work with us regarding this matter, to move forward, to try to renew the building permit that was just through the offices. That's it. And that's what I'd like to see to if it's possible.
Supervisor Decker.
How long is the CUP good for?
There is no time limit on
this. Okay, there's no expiration on this?
Correct.
Can we have it put on the agenda for a month from now and give him a month to figure out what he wants to do, if he wants to apply for a new zoning permit and a building permit?
We are applying. We are applying to renew all the buildings. I mean, it's a local, just in the office, because, you know, all three of them would be renewed, you know, more in the offices. It's not that.
Right, but you haven't.
These situations happen across the country right now.
Right, but I'm seeing in the minutes from June 8th of this year that you said that you were working on getting these permits, but you don't have them yet.
No, I don't need the permits. We were working to get the financing.
Right.
We have the permits originally until October 19th.
Right, but as of right now, it's expired.
Yes, you are so correct. But in that time we had, you know, it was discovered, you know, the local. So the financing, the hiccup is the financing. So
right.
That's what
I understand.
That's why when you don't think that I'm going to come and spend $4,000 on permits, nothing big, you know, just because I like it. I want to renew them. I want to spend the money because I still have a feeling we want to complete it and get it done. And that's the reason. You don't want to come and fill those applications just because.
Right.
I expect that.
Well, and to your point about you don't want to really spend the money unless you have the financing, that was kind of what I was getting to either, or to. If we don't issue the CUP until you have your financing, then at least you know that you have your financing.
Yeah, but you can't go apply for a complete event without those things. It has to be. No bank's going to give it to you. Period. Nobody's going to give you just a loan.
You're correct. Not a business loan.
That's
right.
Yeah.
They want to know that you have your ducks in a row. Because you're not going to loan the money, all the conditional use permits and everything.
Absolutely.
I
That would be for the conditional use permit. Obviously, you can't get your, in most cases, you're unable to get your building permits and zoning permits prior to the loan. You would normally get that in advance after your conditional use permit, probably.
I expect we have to be proper for all of us to move forward, to review all of the building, to move forward, to try to build this gas station. Hopefully, we have to move ahead. And that's what our intention is since day one. Our intention, I told you, I have 2,000 reasons I'm looking at every month, so I already checked with them.
Have you been back to the town of Summers and talked to them?
That's how I find out. We discussed this several times, you know, with town of Summers.
And are they renewing your...
It's not that hard to do. Really, it's their intention. They don't want somebody not to build in the town of Summers. And think about it. They're collecting their taxes. They're paying our taxes. They're paying our utilities.
Yeah, and did Bill give you any indication of what their thoughts were?
Yeah, we had some discussion with the town just to try to find out exactly where things were at once the permit expired. And in many cases, the typical option would be that they would ask for a raise order to remove with what's been constructed. They haven't said anything in regards to that. I don't know of anything that's any movement into that. And at this particular point, although I don't know either from them saying that they were going to reissue the building permit. They may do that, but they haven't said that they were looking at doing that at this point.
I spoke to them, actually, you know, they don't have no intention not to give it to us.
Don't we kind of need that first before we do a CUP?
Well, I mean, we have a CUP.
I know, but...
To get more information.
Yeah.
Certainly, we can look to get more information from the town in regards to this on where they're at.
I guess I would feel more comfortable if I knew where the town was heading, if they've had some open meeting discussion about it and what their consensus was.
I guess one thing that we could do is we could host a meeting with the town of Summers, with the county staff, with Mr. Atut there and talk about it to see exactly where everyone's going. And then we could report back to the committee in December, again on their other business, and just inform you what transpired.
Yeah. Would you be okay with that? I think if you get the town of Summers and the county staff in the same room with you, and then everyone knows where everyone's heading and everyone's okay with everything.
What is our loan goal? I don't have a problem.
I can't speak for the town of Summers, and that's where we have to take our lead from.
I understand, but ma'am, let me ask you a question. I mean, what is our goal to open a business? Our goal, all of us. I want to build a business. I'm sitting here, I don't want it. No. But if it's that's our goal, let's try to move to more circular.
Right, and that's why I say that putting all of you in the same room together would be a good starting point.
I was with Tom Summers in the county.
Correct. Back in July, you came before us to try to renew the permit for the canopy, but then you never came back to obtain that permit.
No, because the bank asked us to redesign something about the canopy, and came to you guys personally with the Tom Summers. They weren't able to see something that was 2 months ago. Tom Summers, we were in our meeting with Morris and the chairman. Was there, and they said they were able to
And at that time, that is true, because that was 1 month after we brought this up and you came before the committee, so that was moving toward in the right direction. So I think it's still valid at this time, since 5 months has transpired, as the chairwoman is saying, is to sit down and find out exactly, are they willing to renew their permit or not, or what are they looking at wanting to do. And then I guess we can report back to the committee in December as to where everything is at. And then at that time, the committee can then direct planning staff as to what action we should take.
I think that's a good way to go.
And if the chairman can choose whatever you want. I'm in favor to move ahead and renew those applications and, you know, figure out what with each other. those standards.
But we need to hear from the town board that they are in favor of this.
Town board or town, the town board or the town chairman?
Like the town, the staff,
well,
right?
The staff, yeah.
Okay,
right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But the staff were here, and the chairman was here, came to the meeting, and Mr. Williams came to the meeting.
Right, but that was before the permits expired. Now all the permits have expired, correct?
August, it's the meeting, July, August.
Yeah. And now all of the permits have expired, so we just want to make sure that they are still on the same page. So I would, is the committee in agreement of that?
Thank you.
So,
having our staff and the Town of Summers staff get together with Mr. O'Toole and make sure that everyone's still on the same page, that this is where the Town of Summers wants to go.
So do you think,
sure.
Do you think at any time you're going to be able to get financing for building this building?
When? The financial. It's just a matter of the category. Which bank?
What do you think is the holdup?
The bank category, the regulators. The same as the government.
Do you think it's because it's a bad location, bad idea, or no?
I think it's just a profile. The location is the right location. Everything is good. Get the franchise approval from BD, all those approvals, just a matter of. One of the toughest things in Kenosha happened is the local, all the three local banks in Kenosha, they were dead in a while. There is no money available to them. They cannot underwrite them. So that was the biggest thing.
How did they come up with putting a gas station in a residential neighborhood like that?
No, it's not a residential.
There's a house right next door to it.
Excuse me?
There's a house right next door to it, isn't there?
It's a commercial site. Actually, the planning, that corner is going to be the corridor, the center of Thomas Summers and Sheldon Road, commercial. That stoplight is going to be the center and the planners.
It's not on the corner. It's in.
There's a house one lot to the west.
The house, yeah. Actually, that house, part of the plan, the next 20 years, supposed to be a commercial in the plan.
Yeah, but yours is off of E to the north. Your building is to the north of E.
That house.
Who is on the corner? Who owns the corner property? You own the corner property.
It's vacant.
Why didn't you put it on the corner?
Which one? The corner?
Your gas station.
No, because the parcel. Parcel, the three parcels divided a long time before I came in the picture.
Okay.
There was zoning, in that 1 acre. The guy built his own house and then turned it through a foreclosure. And then those folks picked it up through a foreclosure procedure. And so the house stayed as residential. That one is a commercial, and the corner is still residential. But the future planning and the plan, when they did the study for the future plan, planning in the Summers, that's going to be the center of the stoplight. It's going to be the commercial site of the lake. So all these houses, even that house you're looking at the corner, the future calls for business long term.
Well, there's residential on the east side, all along the east side of that intersection.
Yeah, but that corner, even across, calls it for commercial, future commercial. That's a study.
Yeah, but there's residential houses there.
Yeah, but it's the
comp plan.
The
parcel zone commercial.
Yes.
So what are they going to do, take those houses out?
No, sometime
in the future.
In the future, 20 years from now.
Yeah. That corner should be commercial. I mean, there's no ifs and buts. Those are residential, I'm sure they're going to cash out, they're going to make money, and they're going to...
Yeah, good luck.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Thank you.
All right.
Sorry.
Recommendation from the committee?
I recommend that we move forward with this to have our planning and development staff meet with Summers to see what their intentions are.
Okay. Everyone agree?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So we'll be in touch with you to set something up in the next couple weeks. Okay, thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, J, just a quick update on Club Climax. I know that this keeps popping up, but just to give you an idea of where we're at, Ben did, yeah, Club Climax. It doesn't come through ours, but it does go through judiciary and law. I get phone calls from Chairman Molinaro all the time about where we're at with this because I keep getting emails from Mr. Russ.
And I know him personally.
I know, we are working with him.
And I'm sorry.
No, no, he's actually very...
He's Mr. Russ.
He's okay. He's doing very well. I know that he's very concerned and very frustrated in the area. But Ben did send out a violation letter. Is that correct?
So are they operating? Are they open? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, they're still open. We sent out a violation letter out to them because they were deficient in three different areas of their certificate of compliance. And they didn't comply with those within the time frame. So a citation went out to them. I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. What about the not being a state resident?
We're still waiting for Corporation Council to get those. Yeah.
It's still recording.
We're still recording. Motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second by Supervisor Esposito and a second by Supervisor Decker. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't understand what you're doing.